This is Real Ghost Stories Online Live Edition, the edition of the program where we take your real ghost stories, hear them, discuss them live. Call in at 216-446-7810 if you're watching us live right now. If not, you're tuned into the podcast, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Some great ghost stories are coming your way right now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That's it is 216-446-7810 to call in live and share your real ghost stories with us. Phone lines are open here in our live edition of the podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever it may be, please press subscribe. Helps us grow the show and lets other folks know that we exist. Greatly appreciate that. And by the way, I mentioned it or announced it yesterday. Well, by the time this airs, about a week or two ago, Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flasks. I'm trying to show it to the camera right now. Better back over here, like this, like that. Anyway, it has our logo on it, engraved right in there. This is the new extra that's going to be kind of phasing out bunk bed bells for yearly EPP memberships. So if you are a yearly EPP, when it renews, you can let me know and I can get one of these to you. If you're not a yearly EPP, if you're a monthly EPP and you upgrade to a yearly EPP, you can get one of these. Just shoot me an email once you've done that. If you are not an EPP at all and have been thinking, you know what, I should do that. It's Halloween time. I'd love to get more ghost stories and hear some of the best ones every week and get advanced episodes and get a spirit flask and get a fast pass email to get stories to us before everybody else and support this show that I listen to all the time. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com for a yearly EPP membership, and you'll have the option right there when you sign up to get one of these. It'll be a selection on your last page of the sign up that says, yes, I'd like that. If you still want a bunk bed bell, I got a handful of those left. But get in on that yearly EPP memberships. You get the option right now as of this or the bunk bed bell, whatever you'd like. And while supplies last, but we're going to do the flasks for a while. Got a big old shipment of those in. So sign up and get that. I have bronchitis today, by the way. That's why I'm drinking hot tea. And my voice kind of sounds like shit. Or like Casey Kasem. That's the only time I can do really good, Casey, is when I have a cold. So let's jump over to one of these callers and hear a ghost story.
Hi. So my story goes out, well, it's technically not my story. It's my dad's. So he grew up in Taylor's Valley, Virginia, with his brother and my grandparents. My grandfather was a backwoods Southern preacher. And they grew up, you know, in Tennessee. The story was, my dad, his brother, my grandfather, and a friend of the family with his boys went out on a hunting and fishing trip. And in the area that they went, there was a folklore or legend or whatever of a woman who went by the name of the Creekfield Woman. And she was known to be a witch, as the legend goes. And she was killed by the locals. She was beheaded because apparently, local legend was, she had done something to one of the townsfolk, and they found out, and she was punished for it. So my dad and his friends and his brother and my grandfather went out to go hunting and fishing, and they decided during the trip that they would go and take photos by the creek field, that is the old creek. And one of my dad's friends, Timothy Yates, he went and took a picture on a rock by the waterfall near the creek. And they all, you know, took pictures and stuff. Well, a couple weeks later after the trip, his mother had taken the photos and got them developed. And this was back in the early 70s, so there wasn't, you know, Photoshop or, you know, things like that. So she was looking through the photos, and in the photo was Timothy by the rocks in the waterfall, and right underneath his foot looked like a head of a woman with blonde hair, eyes rolled in the back of her head, and she just dropped the photo and said, "Oh my God, that's the Creekfield woman." And Timothy Yates with his brother became bluegrass local musicians. And they have, you know, by now have passed on. Well, they had made a song about it. And I've been trying to find it on the internet. Maybe somebody who listens to your podcast could probably, in that area, tell me if they could, you know, find the song, The Creekfield Woman. And I just wanted to share that story. I love your podcast. I listen to it every day. And thank you. Hope to hear this on your next one.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that story. And if anyone has any information on that, feel free to reach out and try and figure that out. All right, let's go back to the other calls at 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10. If you'd like to share your ghost stories with us, we would love to hear it on the show today. I know we're connected over here for our regular phone calls, so that's a good thing. So feel free to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hello, it's Clinna again from Ohio. I thought I'd tell you about the story. Have you ever been on a riverboat? I have always wanted to be on a riverboat, and this concerns, I guess, a ghost. My friends and I were driving around, my husband and I, my two friends, and we ended up by the Ohio River there. And we thought, ooh, we should get on the riverboat that goes up and down the river down there. No, it costs too much. But of all things, there is I docked when they turned into a restaurant. And I thought, oh, sure, that sounds cool. Let's go there. So we go in, we have a dinner, and I'm talking excitedly because I thought this thing was so beautiful. And the server heard us. So I said, man, I wish I could see the rest of the boat. And he says, well, we're not busy. And usually we have the upstairs rinse it up for parties. And this time we don't. So you could go around and look if you want, as long as you don't damage anything. Of course, we wouldn't do that. So me and my friends and my husband go looking around, and we got to these stairs, so we went up the stairs. I was so excited. I was getting ready to explore the upstairs, but I got to the top of the steps, and I got the creepiest feeling, like, ooh, don't go any farther. Matter of fact, the hair on my arms for standing up. I told the others, I can't go any farther. What are you talking about? She was so excited about exploring the rest of the boat. I said, nope, I'm not going any farther. And they're like, well, if you're not, we're going to stop right here too. And for some reason, right when you get up to the top of the step, there's a banister-like thing there and a window. So me and my friend, her name was Charlotte, we were looking. My husband and Ron came out left behind us, and they're like, oh, cool, that's the side where the paddle for the rudder is. And I'm like, looking at us, oh, cool, all right. And they're looking at me, why did you sound so funny? I says, you mean you didn't see that ghost standing there? You know, in the middle of where the battle is? I'm like, no. My husband and Ron looked at me real funny. And I thought, okay, I'm seeing things. And my friend Charlotte, who started feeling bad and had to sit down, piped up in her little voice, I saw him too. So I'm like, okay, the boat's haunted. It's beautiful. But I'm not going any farther to where I was. But it was confirmed by my friend that she saw him too. It's not a person taking a smoke break or something. A person don't stand in the middle with the paddle or the rudder where the makes the boat go. He was standing in the middle of it, of all things. So that's my take on that ghost. And of course, you'll probably get a few more from me too. Take care. Thank you very much for your show. Bye.
And thank you for calling in and sharing that that experience with us. It's one of those things. The boats, the haunted boats. I'm always been drawn to things on the water, and I don't know why. There's a I don't know. It's going to sound a corny term here. There's a majesty to them. I don't know, especially like old ocean liners. And this is obviously a paddle boat, but there's always something creepy, something in a good way, creepy good about them that I'm very much drawn to too. So I understand your excitement where they said, "Oh, and now you can take a tour of the boat here and kind of go behind the scenes." That would, to me, would be really awesome. I was trying to get some information recently on an interview with the guy who's the head of the Queen Mary, and I was curious about what does the ship look like in areas now that you're not allowed to visit, the areas that are off limits to the public. And what I was really trying to get at is, you know, does it look like something out of like a horror movie? Like, obviously, you know, the front of the house at a restaurant looks really nice. You go to the back of the house sometimes, it can be somewhat in a disarray. So I'm wondering what now the central back of the house, it was once the front of the house on the Queen Mary, looks like today in those areas. I'd love to see that. They didn't really want to answer those questions, though. So I don't know. 216-446-7810 is our phone number to call in and share a ghost story with us. As we do this thing live, the phone lines are open, and I would love to hear from you. Doing a lot of calls today. I even actually have some written stories I thought about introducing into our live program, because I know a lot of you guys like us doing readings of the stories, but with the interest of not completely frying my voice, I think we'll stick with just calls today, and we'll maybe introduce that in a coming week. But I would love to hear from you today at 216-446-7810 as we do our live edition of the program right now. Go to this story. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi. My story's, you know, related to my childhood, as many are. I grew up in a colonial type home close to the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And I know this from the history. It's an old town. It's located by water. It's got a rich history, as much as the East Coast does with colonials. So the house, it was situated, it was like a Cape Cod type home. It had two bedrooms upstairs, and it was separated by a hallway and a bathroom. And my brother and I were actually the ones that lived upstairs. And just thinking about it kind of makes me a little, my brother and I experienced. We seldom slept in our rooms alone. We typically slept in each other's rooms. He would typically end up on my floor or even sometimes in the bed because we were just too scared to really have a good night's sleep. Some of my young memories that I can recall is feeling somebody like touch my hand or my foot and pull it, and that's all it was. But you would look and there would be nobody there. You know, down the road, after talking with my mom, after we had even moved out of the house, we realized that, you know, we all kind of experienced that same thing. She said it, she seemed that the activity was a little worse or heightened when she was pregnant with my younger brother. But anyways, we would recall, like, sitting there in the living room, all relaxed, watching TV, and then all of us look to our backside all at the same time. Recalling that there was actually nothing there, but we all felt like something was looking at us in the doorway. The scariest thing that I can say in that house growing up would probably have to be the little gremlin thing that used to sit at the edge of my bed. I remember multiple occasions, I can't even tell you how many times a week it would happen, but I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would look at my bed and there would be just something high enough to where it was right above my bed frame, just sitting there staring at me. And as time went on, it would scare me to the point where I would have to sleep with pillows over my head. I could not look at the room around me. I was petrified, so I'd have to sleep with this like fort of pillows over my head. Well, I was around 10 years old, 11 years old, and it was there one night, and I finally got, I guess, the balls to sit up and confront it because I was just so tired of it
and it was gone. It left. As soon as I sat up, it vanished. And a couple months go by. I'm thinking that the thing over my bed is gone. I don't have to worry about it sitting there staring at me in the middle of the night. I didn't feel like it was. I remember waking up one night not feeling too well. Actually, my heart was racing. I just didn't feel well at all. So I was going to get up and tell my mom. Her bedroom was downstairs. And I pulled the blankets over my head. And there was a thing standing in my doorway. It was tall. It was lanky. And it looked like it was, I don't know, the best way I can describe it was just flowing lace. And I remember that scared me so bad. I didn't sleep in my room for several months after. I slept downstairs on the couch where we had a fold-out bed because I was just too terrified to go back upstairs in that bedroom. So when my mom told me we were moving to Ohio, I, needless to say, was excited to get out of that house. So that's just a portion of the haunted stories that I have in that house. Later finding out that home actually came in possession of several people. They had, taken possession of the home, and a couple years later they had moved out. So who knows what had happened. Maybe those people experienced something similar to what I had. I don't know. But I can tell you that it's something that definitely sticks with me for the rest of my life, and I'll never forget it. I want to appreciate you guys. I actually just found you guys out the other day, and I was hooked. So thanks for what you do, because there's people out there that don't give credit to this, and there is obviously something out there. We just don't know what it is. So thanks again, and I look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience with us. Sometimes just being able to get some of this stuff out in a community like this with other folks of like mind is all it really takes. And sometimes it's not even analyzing. It's just, I got it out. That felt good. So if that's what you want to do today, feel free to call in 216-446-7810. Let's try going back to, let's go to a caller at 619. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Stevie Ruiz, and I've called in a couple of times, actually.
Great, Stevie. Welcome to the show.
Time was with, yeah, I had a doppelganger story last time I called it.
Okay, well, let's hear your story today.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead, Stevie.
Okay, well, this is a really recent story. I was in New Orleans staying at, I can say their name because it's included on their website and all, the Place d'Armes Hotel on St. Anne Street. And I was there for sort of an occult festival. And I went to the first night I was in bed. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up and I heard pages rustling over in the corner where my desk was. And I went, there's a ghost in my room. And a journal. Rude. So I was like, well, whatever, it's a good story. And went, started to try to go back to sleep, except then I felt something standing beside my bed. I was facing, lying on my right side facing the door, and I felt someone walk up behind me and sort of lean against the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't even think it. And it went away. Now, of course, if you're in a haunted hotel, and I am not a psychic or anything like that, it's easy to psych yourself into that sort of thing. Well, the next day I met up with some of the people going to, and they were all saying, did that ghost come and like try to get in bed with you last night? Yeah, he did. What a pain in the butt. And I was like, oh, I'm the third person to claim this experience. Other people were far more bothered by it.
Mm-hmm.
Open with a pen in case it wanted to write something, but it didn't bother me for the next two nights. My last night there, felt the leaning on the bed. I just said, nope, and it went away. And the next morning, people were complaining about that ghost pen. So that's my story.
It sounds like one hell of an experience at a hotel. Unfortunately, your calls dropped quite a bit throughout the story, but I think we got the gist of it. But it sounds like not the night that you were probably planning or expecting to have at the hotel that night.
Right?
Well, as I said, I mean, it has a reputation for being haunted.
Sure.
So. Then again, I've stayed at the Bourbon Orleans, which is also supposed to be haunted, and nothing.
Sure. And then that's the thing. Half the time you go to a hotel and you think, oh, this is really haunted. Something's going to happen and nothing happens. It's difficult to have them be on demand. Although with some of the stories that we get on the show these days, it's getting to be more on-demand experience, I think, than it used to be. And I kind of wonder why that is. If they're getting trained, are they just more open?
In this case, hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
It wanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is aware that there's people who want to give it attention.
Yeah.
I didn't intend to give it attention. That's why I told it to get it off.
I think sometimes it's almost like a pet or something where the pets, they learn, oh, if I do this, I'll get attention. Or a kid. I think ghosts sometimes operate in the same way. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. I think we've figured out what's going on here. I just think there's a really bad connection going on with the internet today, using Skype of some sort. Not a whole lot we can do about that, but I've been having a lot of issues with things dropping. The fact that we're streaming live and everything on our end is not dropping tells me it's not within our infrastructure. It tells me it's something over there on the end of Skype that's it's causing us some issues, because that's what we use to connect to our call screen. So hopefully that gets rectified. In the meantime, let's go to another story here and hear a ghost story. Let me pull one up here and go over to, I believe, Lee. Hi, Lee. Let's hear your ghost story today.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Lee. I just started listening to your podcast maybe a week and a half ago. Some really interesting stories. I don't want to call myself a sensitive. Also, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I don't want to call myself a sensitive. I think when I was younger, I was hoping that I would be more like that. But the older I get, the more I don't want to draw things in that I don't know about or that are kind of sort of scary. The one experience that I've had is more to do with sleep paralysis. I am a Christian, and so I do definitely believe in, you know, good and evil, but I also don't deny the fact that there could be ghosts and spirits. But that's okay. So again, with the sleep paralysis, last summer I bought my first place, a condo. And I'm still there today, so I've been there about just over a year and a half. I've had sleep paralysis instances before, but they really kind of came to a head last summer. In the span of about a month or so, I had about 3 or 4 instances where I have a 2-bedroom condo. It's kind of small, just under 1,000 square feet, my bedroom. But I've always had this fear that because I live alone, someone's kind of break in and come and hurt me. Well, I think whatever these instances were with the sleep paralysis were playing on that very fear, because in the first episode of sleep paralysis last summer, in that time span of a month, I remember, you know, waking up and kind of coming to, my eyes were still closed, but I heard what sounded like someone was doing dishes in my kitchen, or like emptying the dishwasher or something. The kitchen's on the first floor, and I'm like, oh my God, someone's in my place. So I get up, I open up my door, and I always keep my bedroom door locked, kind of as a last-ditch effort in case somebody does break into my place. It'll take them a moment to get into my room. I do have an alarm system, and that does work, so I don't know why they'd manage to get up there, but just in case. So I heard someone doing dishes. I get up, go, you know, open up my door, kind of peer downstairs. It's quiet. There's no one down there. So I was like, all right, great. So I think this must have been a few days later. I come to again in the middle of the night. Again, my eyes are still shut, but I'm very aware. And it sounds like somebody, I have one master bathroom that's upstairs right outside my bedroom. I hear the water turning on and off, or it sounds like somebody's running the bathroom sink water. And I was like, oh my God. I'm in a sleep paralysis. Once I kind of get myself awake, it takes a while, but after some a lot of strength. I'm able to get myself up out of bed. And this time I didn't investigate. I just kind of woke up and acknowledged that I was having a sleep paralysis episode. I mean, during sleep paralysis, I would never wish this amount of terror on anyone, just to kind of validate that it is actually sleep paralysis. I'm scared. It's very, very real in the moment. So this first time was the dishes. The second time it's getting close to my room. It's messing with the water in the sink faucet in the master bathroom right outside my bedroom door. I didn't investigate that time. Must have been within, you know, a few days from that second instance. The third one was, this time it sounds like someone in the middle of the night again. I come to, this is always around 3 o'clock in the morning. The third instance was somebody was kind of, it sounded like they were opening and closing my shower curtain. You know how you hear the rings against the rod. And of course I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh my God, I hate this. I don't like the fact that it's playing on my fears. And over time and throughout my life, I've kind of learned to recognize that it is sleep paralysis, no matter how scary it is. So I didn't give it any time of day. I just kind of woke up and made sure I could move. And then I went back to sleep and I was fine. I try not to sleep on my back now because I know I'm a lot more likely to be in sleep paralysis or have another thing if I'm on my back. So the fourth time, and this was the fourth episode in 1 month again, right before the fourth episode, I was invited over to my neighbor's house. I'm in a condo unit and I have a unit on either side of me. And the next door neighbors, they invited me over for like a cookout. And I wasn't able to make it to the cookout, but I stopped by for drinks after my plans on that Saturday night. I stopped by and they were talking about the old man who lived in my unit before me. And he had only lived there a year. Long story short, really, really old man. He couldn't even use the stairs. And so there was no reason for him to have a place with stairs. So I think family got involved, moved him into a safer place. But what they told me that night was, you know, we used to hear him on the other side of the wall because our master bedrooms, you know, are on the other side of the wall from each other. They're thick walls, but they said they used to hear him screaming in the middle of the night, which was really terrifying to hear. And I asked why he would scream, and they're like, did he have a night nurse? And they said, no. The nurse would come during the day and take care of him, but in the middle of the night, he would be yelling at somebody, saying something to the effect of, go away, please don't touch me, please don't hurt me, go away. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's really, really encouraging and kind of validating this fear and these episodes that I've been having, that something may be in my place. And I was like, great. These condos were built in the 60s, so I'm not aware of any big thing that's happened. I'm on the condo association board, so I haven't heard of anything. So of course I go to bed. I like just walk back to my place. I'm like, okay, good night, guys. And I'm like, great. How am I going to go to sleep tonight? So I somehow go to sleep. And then that same night I have another episode. This is the fourth and I'll say final episode, because this time I was just pissed. I don't like my sleep being interrupted. So I come to, but my eyes are still closed and I'm just kind of listening. And remember how I said I keep my door locked? Well, someone coming up the stairs, I can't move. I know that I have control of my eyes, but I decide to keep my eyes shut because I'm like, I want to listen. I don't want to see anything. I hear what sounds like someone opening my door. And then I hear someone come up to the side of my bed. And I was like, oh my God, someone's broken. All I'm thinking is like, now I'm just terrified. I'm thinking somebody's right next to my bed. Someone's about to murder me. And then I feel somebody get up on top of me. And I feel the full pressure and full weight of another person. My eyes are still shut, and then nothing. I just feel the weight, and I'm like, at this point, I was obviously just frozen in fear, and I'm like, I'm not going out this way. Like, I was pretty sure I was about to die, whether I was going to be raped or murdered or something. I was like, I'm not going out without seeing this person. I'm not going to be scared like this till the end. So I get myself the courage to open up my eyes, and I do, and nothing's there. The weight's gone, nothing's there. And I look at my door, and my door is completely shut. Remember, I said I locked it, so it wouldn't have even made sense for somebody to come in. After that, I when I'm in sleep paralysis, I will pray. Like I said, I am a Christian. I will pray that whatever it is to go away, like in the name of Jesus. And usually after about a long time of praying, usually whatever it is, it'll go away and I'll be able to get myself out of sleep paralysis. This time though, I was pissed. I mean, like I prayed and stuff, but I was like, I had no more patience. I was so mad and angry that they made me feel whatever it was or whatever the presence was made me feel like I was about to die, and had the courage to come up and actually become that invasive in my space. So I just got really pissed and I basically swore the thing off and I said, don't come back, whatever it is, whatever that presence is. And to this day, I'm happy to say it's been about since last summer, and I don't know. I've had moments in the middle of the night where I'm freaked out, where I'll wake up in the 3 o'clock hour, but I just go back to sleep and I brush it off and I don't give it the attention, whatever it is that it feeds on. I mean, I'm still safe and I have my alarm system and I still lock my door, but I think it just angered me to a point where I was like, no, it has no right to be here. I'm not going to let this thing run my life. I really hate my sleep being interrupted. And I'm a good sleeper. So I'm like, for something to be able to ruin that, I'm like, you cross the line. Again, I don't even know if I said my name. My name's Lee. Again, Columbus, Ohio. I really appreciate your show. I do have another story. So if this does get aired and you do find it interesting, I'll probably call in and give another short story.
Thank you, Lee, for calling in and sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. When you have things like that with sleep paralysis, and it's not just a one-time occurrence, it seems to be a regular thing, there seems to be other aspects of it that connect with either the environment that you're in or other things in the physical, you have to start to wonder, well, is this just sleep paralysis or is something else using sleep paralysis to get to me, to torment me, to get a message to me, to do whatever? But is it something beyond just our mind that's being manipulated, or that it's our mind just doing things? It's such a tricky subject. Sometimes, I mean, I do fully believe there is just a version of sleep paralysis that is just our minds. Nothing paranormal to it. Scary, but nothing paranormal. But there's also seems to be a lot of things that connect with that specific facet of what our minds can do. And then demonstrate in the physical that it knows that's an option for getting to us. Very creepy. I call it a sleep paralysis experience, but it was almost kind of like that to a certain extent, where you really had to wonder, based on the environment and what was going on around, if there was something more to it. And it can be completely terrifying. Thank you again for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Do greatly appreciate it. I think that's going to wrap up our program for today. My voice is not all that good, as you can tell from the bronchitis that I'm dealing with. I got my giant old sippy cup here from the hospital, from any time recently, about a year ago when I went in. And then I got my inhaler here too, so it's good times for all. I haven't had bronchitis in like 3 years, since I was in Kansas. I would get it there every year because it's a very allergy-ridden place. But I've been lucky here so far. All the leaves and all that, beautiful. But oh my God, it's hitting everyone in our house pretty hard with the allergies this fall. Just not a good time. All right, that's going to wrap up the program. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of the show. If you called in, sorry for those technical difficulties. We do our best to get this show on the air for you every single Wednesday afternoon. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Keep us on the air. Get that spirit flask when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership over at ghostpodcast.com. Take care, everybody.